Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know what? There is something that I have noticed, and maybe this is the opponent. Maybe it's the way that the offense is played. It's just something that I have noticed. The Chiefs are going to be missing 40% of their original offensive line. Everybody seems very calm about it heading into this game. I also feel very calm about it heading into this game. But your first round pick at left tackle, who was off to a very, very good start, we know that he's not playing in this game and he won't be playing next week either. We'll see what it looks like after the bye week. So your starting opening day left tackle, unavailable for this game. Your potential all-pro, potential ring of honor, highest paid offensive lineman, your right guard, is also not going to play in this game. And everybody seems pretty cool with it. So one of the things that I have written down as kind of talking points, bullet points, what am I looking for? This game is going to test their offensive line depth. It is testing their depth at left tackle. It's testing their depth on the interior offensive line. Most offensive lines are prepared to go seven deep. You got to prepare for something like what's happened. An injury happens. I know that Joshua Simmons is not dealing with the injury, but if you're not there, it's kind of like dealing with an injury. So you have an injury on a couple different spots. Now you have positioned yourself very well when it comes to those things. You got Jalen Moore in pre-agency. You got Mike Caliendo. You got Caliendo playing right guard for you. This is, I think, as far as you can stretch your depth when we're talking about the offensive line. And one advantage that the Chiefs offense has had over the course of the last 3 weeks or so has been their offensive line has been really, really good. This is as strong of a front five that they've put together, which has really fueled their offense, really helped Patrick Mahomes. And you can tell he's looking comfy in the pocket. So is that going to continue to be the case? We just had Nick Costos on the show and he was talking about Breshard Smith. I want to continue to see Breshard Smith get more and more opportunities. I don't really know what to make of the last game with the number of carries that he got. I'm not expecting him to get 14 carries in this game the way that he did against the Raiders. They blew that team out. The Chiefs basically sat on the ball for the final 30 minutes of it. I just don't think he's going to get that kind of volume. But that's not to me what his role is on the team. His role on the team is what he gave you in the passing game and how he helped you as a wide receiver and ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. And that he's done a really, really good job of the last couple of weeks. So, Rob, a couple of things that I'm going to be looking at, a couple of things that I think are very noteworthy to track are the offensive line and the depth really being tested. And to me, how they use Breshard Smith. We went from the first 3 weeks when their offense was struggling to now over the last 4 weeks, they've really incorporated Breshard Smith. I mean, he only got two targets in the first 3 weeks of the season. Since then, four targets, three targets, four targets, five targets, and they're paying off. Last week, 42 yards receiving, 21, 32, 27. He has become a part of your offense. So as we are heading into the second half of the season, and this to me feels like the break in the season, after this, you got Buffalo, Denver, Indianapolis, Thanksgiving game against the Cowboys. This is kind of the end of the first half of the season. How do they use Rashard Smith? What is his role going to be moving forward as this offense continues to grow?
Let's talk about the offensive line, because me and you see Rashard Smith largely the same. I think he is worth a flyer tonight. He is definitely the Jerick McKinnon type if you're looking for a gambling edge. I don't know he's a great running back right now, but I think he is a great weapon out of the backfield. And it'll take time, but I think he can become a great running back. But right now, he's a pass catcher. But let's talk about the offensive line, because me and you have had our disagreements, let's say, with Brett Veach about the offseason. He seemed to view positional value wildly different than me and you view it. And that's fine.
Agreed.
Because the Chiefs' offensive line depth has been tested, and I think part of it's the opponent, but part of it's you feel like, oh, they have capable NFL player backups, so you don't really worry about it. You're right. Their left tackle is, he's not hurt, but he's not with the team. He's not playing. Their big free agent signing has stepped in and been fantastic, and it will be a conversation over the next 2 weeks about when Josh Simmons gets back, who's the starter. We know the starter tonight is Jalen Moore. He's been good. I will credit them. Everyone and their grandmother called Kingsley a bust 2 games in. He was a bust at left tackle. They told us. Brett Veach told us in the offseason. Andy Reid told us after the Bronco game, hey, Kingsley can be a good left guard. A lot of people were skeptical. They operate all offseason, he can be a good left guard. Credit to them. He's been a good left guard. They then kept Mike Caliendo on the team, who was totally fine, unless you like PFF numbers last year, and Joe Tooney's spot. And he's going to slide in tonight for Trey Smith. And most people think, yeah, it's a downgrade from Smith to Caliendo, but will still be okay. The fact their O-line depth being tested tonight, but the average fan thinks, ho-hum, it's still a good unit out there, is a testament to what Brett Veach did this offseason and knowing you don't need to be just 6 deep or 7 deep. You need to be deep at offensive line, and fans are not worried. There are times in Chiefs lore where if you were down 2 offensive linemen, you were in, you know, you were in bad shape. Remember that game we talked about, the Colts? It was the 2019 game where the Chiefs lose like 13-10. They had multiple guys in the offensive line hurt that day. It was a disaster. They're playing the Commanders, Monday Night Football. They had multiple offensive linemen not playing tonight. Ho-hum, no worry, no fret in town. If you're at your tailgate right now, you don't even care about offensive line talk. That's a testament to Brett Veach's job this offseason.
One thing that I'm curious about heading into this matchup, and maybe this is me just being nervous for the sake of being nervous, and I could live with that. Does Marcus Mariota have any juice left? Because I'm looking at Marcus Mariota, and I don't want to throw him in the same conversation as Kirk Cousins, who's close to 40. I don't want to throw him in the same conversation as Andy Dalton, for example, another older quarterback. Like, I don't think he's that kind of player. Marcus Mariota's 31 years old. He's not that far removed from being a starter in this league and being capable in a lot of ways. Like, I'm looking at the weapons and options that they have. I mean, if Marcus Mariota is fine today, they got enough to at least be pesky. The Kroski Merritt kids, he's fine. But you look at their wide receivers, you got Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel back. So you got two legitimate options at wide receiver. You got Zach Ertz, a guy who's been a pretty productive player in his NFL career. They're okay on defense. Like, the Commanders are 40% of the league. They're fine. They're not great. I don't think they're going to make the postseason. I also don't think they're bad and you can just overlook the Commanders. They're a team that will win somewhere between 7 and 9 games and narrowly missed the postseason. And part of it is because the NFC is just completely loaded from top to bottom. So I'm looking at this game and does Marcus Mariota have enough left to be interesting? Does he have enough to throw for 215 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, play a pretty good game and give the Commanders a chance in the fourth quarter to be 1 or 2 plays away from possibly pulling off the upset? If that ends up being the case, we're in for a good game. If that's not the case, and Marcus Mariota is cooked, which is certainly a possibility, if that ends up being the case, the Chiefs beat this team 37-10 and we all move on with our life and we don't speak much of this game after tonight.
So I actually see it a little bit differently. I think Marcus Mariota can have a little juice left, and I still don't know this game's going to be interesting. Because I think he is one of the, I don't want to say better backups, it's a weird sentence, but I think there are, if you have him in a game and you're the Commanders, you feel obviously worse than you do with your starter, but you feel like we're in an okay spot. We can survive in advance. I think he has enough juice to, if he's got a spot start over 3 weeks, you can survive and go 2-1. You just got to get help everywhere else.
I'm with you. That's where I am with Mariota, too.
I don't think the help everywhere else is coming tonight, though. Like, I think Marcus Mariota might have enough juice to win a game. Like, if the Ravens on Saturday had traded Tyler Huntley for Mariota straight up, I think Mariota could have beaten the Bears yesterday. I do. But I think that's a everything has to go right kind of game. I don't know he's going to get everything go right tonight. So I think he's a good player. I think he's still got a little juice left, and I think you'll see at times like, oh, there's something there still. Maybe not star power, but capable NFL quarterback, but it just doesn't matter. Their defense is bad. Their D-line is bad. Like, I don't think there's enough of the surroundings to make it interesting tonight, even if Mariota plays okay.
Are you more worried about the Commanders being a little more pesky than you are giving them credit, or worried about the Chiefs potentially sleepwalking and looking ahead to the Bills game?
Chiefs sleepwalking. I think the Chiefs sleepwalk and the Commanders are pesky enough to be a problem, but if the Chiefs come out with the full focus they had last Sunday against the Raiders, I do not believe the Commanders are in the game.
I'm with you there. I'm not maybe holding them to the expectation of last week. Like, I just think last week was just the absolute perfect storm. Like, I don't know if you can really beat another team that way. I'm probably more worried about the Chiefs potentially sleepwalking through this game too. Like, we've just seen the Chiefs turn in these efforts once or twice a year. We've seen the Chiefs where they know that their C-plus game is still good enough to beat 85% of the league. Their C-plus game is good enough to beat the Washington Commanders today, where tomorrow, you look at it, the Chiefs won a 24-20 game. It was more edge of the seat than it potentially needed to be, but the Chiefs were never in any real danger, you think, of losing the game. We talk about it for one day on Tuesday, and then we all move forward and we're looking ahead to the Buffalo game on Wednesday. Like, we just seen that game script potentially play itself out. Now, the reason I give the Chiefs a chance to potentially avoid that is to what you just said about the Commanders' defense. Can their defense slow down Kansas City? Because right now, it feels like I don't know how the Commanders can hold the Chiefs to less than 30 points unless the Chiefs turn the ball over. And so far, the Chiefs this season, they have two turnovers. They have two. So if Washington isn't going to win the turnover battle 2-0 or something of that nature, if this game is played straight up and Kansas City doesn't turn the ball over, that just that sounds like a 31-10 loss for the Washington Commanders if that's how it ends up playing itself out. Coming up on the other side, we'll actually head to our nation's capital coming up in about 10 minutes or so. So I was reading on Washington, like their version of Arrowhead Pride, and they gave a very interesting answer to if you could add any one player from the Chiefs to the Commanders that wasn't Patrick Mahomes, who would you pick? I'll tell you their answer. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about the Denver Broncos and their beatdown yesterday of the Cowboys. Before we do that, I want to tell you guys something I found earlier today when I was getting ready for the show. So I was on the Washington Commanders, their version of Arrowhead Pride, their fan information website. And I was on there, and one of the questions that they were asking their beat writers, if you could add one player from the Kansas City Chiefs that's not Patrick Mahomes, who would that player be? I was very surprised to see that George Karlaftis was the most popular answer that they were giving. Now, I understand positional value, and that's the argument, and certainly a good pick. I don't know why that just caught me off guard. Like, I was guessing Rashee Rice before I clicked on it, but then I was thinking, oh, they already got Terry McLaurin. They already got Deebo Samuel. So maybe that's why they went in a different direction. That's interesting. I wonder, like, next week have somebody on from Buffalo. Maybe we'll ask this question, to Kevin Sheehan, who's going to join the show in just a little bit. I don't know if Buffalo would give the answer of George Karlaftis. The answer caught me off guard, as that would be the number one player you would take that's not Patrick Mahomes.
I am legitimately fall out of my chair stunned by that answer. Now, I don't think George Karlaftis is a bad pick, and I think if you were to draft, I think he would probably go higher than you think of, hey, players the Commanders might add, because you're right. I think Worthy, Rice, Kelsey, if you're a Commanders fan, you might like your players more, but you kind of feel like they're six and one and a half dozen the other. Zach Ertz, Travis Kelsey, I think Kelsey's better, but if you're a Commanders fan, I get why you wouldn't take Kelsey. I also get, like, hey, we have McLaurin and Samuel. You don't want Rice and or Worthy. That logic makes sense to me. In what world is Trent McDuffie not the pick? Like, I know the Commanders have Marshawn Lattimore, and he's a corner who has had good pedigree in the NFL, but George Karlaftis over Trent McDuffie to me is legitimately astonishing. And I understand, like, even not Chris Jones, because Chris Jones' age maybe comes into effect, but I'm legitimately very, very surprised that there is no, that they took Karlaftis over Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie feels like the layup, and your point about positional value, corner is still an important position in the NFL. It's not like they took a kicker. Like, that just, that's what makes me surprised about it, is passing on Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, I also wonder if this might be one of those things that maybe we are just potentially too close to it. Because if you were looking at it from the outside, George Karlaftis is in the prime of his career, pass rusher. And there's just not that many of them in the league. Like, we're talking about a 24-year-old, a player who doesn't really have an injury history, a guy with no off-the-field issues that you're worried about, and a guy that's shown you the ability to get after the quarterback. I mean, that's a major reason why the Chiefs ended up signing him immediately to the deal. Hey, we got a chance to extend you. We got a chance to pay you like we think you're going to take that next big step, and now we watch to see if you can take that next step. So I'm with you. I would take Trent McDuffie in this conversation too, but I also could understand how if you're another team and you see that the Chiefs have locked up a 24-year-old, a guy who played in 17 games, 16 games, 16 games, like a 24-year-old pass rusher with a perfect track record of injury history, I could understand how that would be very, very attractive to you to add, especially if you don't feel like you have that player on your team.
Like, don't get me wrong, I think George Karlaftis is a good player, and I don't think if you're a Commanders fan, adding him to your roster makes you worse. I understand the entirety of the logic, I do. I just feel like if the exercise is add any player off the Chiefs roster, same as Patrick Mahomes, to help your team tonight and this season, I feel like it's got to be McDuffie. I understand the logic on Karlaftis. I do. Someone on the text line says, if you wanted a pass rusher, why would you take Karlaftis or Chris Jones?
I'd rather have Karlaftis than Chris Jones.
I think age plays a huge 100%. Factor there. So, like, I understand. And like I said, if me and you were to do this exercise, I think Karlaftis comes up in the first five picks. Like, I think he is a popular and understandable pick. I just, you have your pick of the litter, and Karlaftis is that was just very, very surprising to me as well. Like, and it's not surprising for the obvious reasons. It's because of Trent McDuffie exists.
The weekend in the National Football League was just filled with blowouts. I mean, they were everywhere. Like, just, you couldn't look around. Everywhere you look, you saw a blowout. One of those blowouts happened to be the Denver Broncos, who basically from start to finish just dominated the Dallas Cowboys. The Broncos have won five games in a row. Now, these have not been a murderer's row of teams, but they did go on the road and beat the Philadelphia Eagles, which is one of the more impressive wins of any team so far this season in the National Football League. I was very interested, so I put this poll out yesterday in the middle of the Broncos game. Do you think the Broncos are good? I was just curious. What are people going to say? Well, the results of that poll, 61% of people said yes. 38% of people said no. So give or take 0.4%, you follow me here. So about 60-40 when it comes to, do you think the Broncos are good? It does feel like this is going to be a question that the Broncos have to answer until they play the Chiefs coming up in a couple of weeks. But you and I have been kind of noting this as we've been looking at their schedule. They go on the road to play Houston. I imagine Denver's a favorite in that. I haven't checked the look-ahead lines. I'm guessing Denver's a slight favorite in that game. They got Vegas at home on a short week on Thursday Night Football. And then they got a 10-day break. They got the long break heading into the game against the Kansas City Chiefs while the Chiefs are coming off the bye. And that's a home game there. It feels like that's the game that we are going to get our answer potentially, because for all the conversation that we are having about the division, it could the Chargers win it, could the Broncos win it. I know this, if the Broncos can't win the home game against the Chiefs, they're done. They're done. You're not winning the AFC West if you can't win that game. Now, winning that game doesn't guarantee you are going to win the division. The Chargers won their home game, and I use that in quotes because that was the Brazil game. But if the Broncos are going to win the AFC West, they have to win the home game against the Chiefs coming up in a couple weeks, because if you give up that one and then you still got Green Bay, you still got to go on the road to Kansas City, and you got to play the Chargers to end the season, I just don't think the Broncos will then end the season with more wins than Kansas City.
So to answer your poll question on Twitter, yes, I think the Broncos are good. I think the Broncos, because funny enough, I put this on social media as the Broncos were beating the brakes off the Cowboys, that I think this is the first time in maybe 7, 8, 9 years the Chiefs have a legitimate threat in the AFC West. And not like, oh, you know, division games. I'm talking about like a team that I think is capable and has a lead on them, and we are at the halfway point of the season and they are leading the division. I think the Broncos are good.
Yeah, more so at least for me. I look at the Broncos, and this goes along with what you're saying. This is the first time that I feel like another team in their division can win 12 games. Because if you can't win 12 games, then it's not realistic to think that you can win the division away from Kansas City. There are certainly some divisions that you can win with less than 12 games. You can't win the AFC West with less than 12 games. You can win the AFC North this year. You're not beating the Chiefs. So I'm looking at their schedule. Right now, the Broncos have 6 wins, so they're halfway there. So the same way that we're talking about with the Chiefs and how you gotta make all of these layups, Washington is a layup, Tennessee is a layup, these games, the Raiders, you gotta win those games. Man, the same message goes to the Broncos. You gotta beat Houston. You gotta beat Vegas at home. You gotta take care of business in those games if you're serious about being a team that could win 12 or more games and could potentially steal the AFC West away from Kansas City.
100%. I think if you're a team that wins 12 games, you can. I don't know if they will, but they can win the division. And if they do end up taking the division from Kansas City, I wouldn't predict it, but they can. You're now hosting a playoff game at home. You feel like if you're a Denver fan, you can win a postseason game. I think even if Denver has to go on the road, I think outside of coming to Kansas City, you would think Denver has a good shot in a road postseason game. Like, I think Denver is good. Now, their quarterback is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, because he has been really good and then really bad at times. But if Sean Payton can get him to play consistent football, that defense is legit in Denver. And it is a team that last year gave the Chiefs all they could handle in the one real game they played here in Arrowhead. And the Chiefs came out on top because of a blocked kick. But The Broncos are good. I don't know if they're Super Bowl good, but they are good.
Yeah, I think we're trying to figure that out, at least when it comes to the Broncos. If they're one of those teams, someone on the text line says the Broncos defense is legit. The Broncos certainly get a lot of credit for what they did yesterday to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, Dak Prescott threw it 30 times and had less than 200 yards. He didn't throw a touchdown pass. Javonte Williams had 41 yards rushing, so they did a great job with the run game. George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, they had decent days but didn't really beat you. Both of those guys had less than 100 yards receiving, and the Broncos, they just – they did Broncos things. I mean, they took advantage of what we know to be a very, very soft defense. But J.K. Dobbins ran for 111 yards. Troy Franklin had 90 yards and two touchdowns. Cortland Sutton chimed in. This Broncos team looks like they could be pretty complete. Looks like a team that you're going to have to worry about. This is a legitimate three-team race in the AFC West. So that's why one of my big messages today for the Chiefs is you just got to keep pace with everybody. If you look at the rest of the AFC yesterday, all of the teams that you think are potential contenders or teams that you think could potentially grab a one seed or win their division, they all won yesterday. Indianapolis won, New England won, Denver won, Buffalo, the Chargers. Like, these teams all took care of business this week in the NFL. The Chiefs got to do the exact same thing. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Kevin Sheehan. He's with Team 980 in our nation's capital, getting you ready for Monday Night Football. Kevin, man, happy to have you on the show today.
My pleasure, guys.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. What is the buzz? What is the hype? How are fans feeling heading into Monday Night Football today?
Well, it's not exactly what we were hoping it would be when the schedule came out in April. You know, it was, for us, it's been a while since, you know, the relevance has been there. You guys have been used to it. And last year was such an exciting kind of out-of-nowhere season. And so to see some of these games, including at Arrowhead on October 27th back in April, you know, I was hoping, I think we were all hoping, this would be a massive game, you know, during the NFL season. 3-4 versus 4-3, you guys trending upwards. And, you know, our team has been decimated really with injuries, including the quarterback who's not going to play tonight. But you never know in the NFL. It's a weird league, right? When you least expect it, things happen. And we've seen in prime time just in the last month, a lot of big underdogs pull off, you know, stunners. I don't expect it to happen. And mostly because just defensively, Washington's really bad. But looking forward to it and really looking forward to getting healthier with Terry and Debo back and then Jaden back next week, hopefully.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me where I think if they had Jaden Daniels, I'd look at this game a little bit differently because you'd have a quarterback that could go out there, throw for 250 yards, run around, make some plays, and just kind of be that X factor and be special. Let's talk about Marcus Mariota. You got a chance to see him certainly a lot more closely than we have. How much juice does he have left? How much gas in the tank does Marcus Mariota have?
Well, first of all, this may be the best situation in his pro career. You know, in Washington, mentoring Jaden Daniels, being a backup in a system that Cliff Kingsbury is, you know, operating, that is just perfect for him. You know, stylistically, they're similar. He's got a lot of confidence, more so than he's had, I think, in recent years. He went through some struggles when he was in, you know, Atlanta and then with the Raiders in Philadelphia briefly. He loves this organization, loves being in D.C., which is, you know, for a lot of us that have been around here for a while, including the last quarter century with Dan Snyder as the owner, it's amazing when anybody says that they actually enjoy being here. But the organization's changed, and it's just a great fit for him. He's not Jaden Daniels, obviously, but what he does do well is he is still the dual-threat quarterback that he's been, not only in his pro career, but going back to Oregon. He looks great. He's not lost a step. He's a really good dual threat zone read, you know, kind of QB. You know, with Cliff's system, there are a lot of easy throws. There's a lot of horizontal throws. He's played well when he's had the opportunity to play. And I think the one thing that everybody understands is they'll be professionally competent on offense tonight with Marcus Mariota. The real concern is what they've turned into defensively this year.
Right now, we're talking to Kevin Sheehan here. He is with Team 980 in D.C. Let's talk about the defense. I'm looking at it right now, and it doesn't look like Deron Payne is going to play in this matchup. You've mentioned it a couple of times. It's Commander's defense, the Commander's defense. What's wrong with it right now? Is it injuries or is it something else?
It's everything. They can't cover, whether they're playing zone or man. They can't tackle. They don't stop the run well, and they make up for all of that with a very average pass rush. It's been really a disaster against any team with capability. They were kind of fooled, I think, into some of their early results against the Giants with Russell Wilson and against the Raiders with Geno Smith, and both of those teams had injuries. Even the Chargers had massive injuries along their offensive line when they played them. But you saw it last week. They can't stop the run. They can't cover, and it's a big concern. A bigger concern now, because the player that may have been playing the best for them defensively, Dorrance Armstrong, is done for the year. He tore his ACL last week. They got issues everywhere. I don't even know who will line up at defensive end. They don't have any edge setters. It's going to be interesting to see how they play it now moving forward. Will they play everything in front of them, cover two, deep safeties, try to tackle, and then try to win in the red zone? Or will they come after quarterbacks? I think that's a big question. But they're in trouble defensively, like several teams are in the league. You saw Pittsburgh last night, Dallas yesterday, Cincinnati's been a mess. And Washington's right there with them. They're just not very good. And to name one part of it would be really, a disservice to all of the other terrible parts.
Are you worried about this season getting away from the Commanders? Because I'm looking at this stretch. They went on the road and they lost to the Cowboys. They go on the road for Monday Night Football. They got Seattle and Detroit, two of the better teams in the NFC. It feels like you could look up and blink and hear coming up in 2 weeks, Washington could be 3-7 and kind of out of this thing.
Yeah, it's a concern. Now, last year, they weren't very good on defense either, but Jaden literally strapped the team to his back week in and week out, and they were able to win 12 regular season games. Now, they were playing the likes of Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener and Kenny Pickett and Deshaun Watson. They don't have, Patrick Mahomes, Darnold, and Jared Goff coming up. So that is a concern for sure. But I think if Jaden gets back and he's healthy – and he's got his receivers. He's got, hopefully Terry McLaurin stays healthy. Debo stays healthy. They'll have a chance week in and week out if they're healthy on offense. But yeah, it's a concern because they don't look like they can stop anybody.
Right now, we're taking a closer look at the Washington Commanders for a couple of more minutes here. Kevin, tell me how Washington pulls off the upset. We had a stat earlier today that said that double-digit dogs are 27-9-1 against the spread on Monday Night Football since 2007. So the math, history says that Washington has a chance to keep this game close, keep this game interesting. You've mentioned the defense. I think you and I would agree. If you can't stop Patrick Mahomes, you might as well not even get off the bus because the Chiefs can hang a 40 spot on you. But let's paint this scenario that this game ends up being close in the final 15 minutes. How do you think the Commanders pull that off?
I think they got to shorten the game. I think they've got to try to run the football, 11-on-11 style, meaning Marcus Mariota's got to be a big part of the run game tonight, and I think he will be. I think they'll use him, on every snap as a potential runner, whether it's zone read or designed runs. I think you're going to see him very much involved in the run game, and somehow they've got to keep possession of the ball. It was their formula last year against the better teams that they played. They're 28th in time of possession. Last year, they were top five. They can run the football, and I think they've got to try to do that tonight and keep their defense on the sideline, and then, of course, make it pay off, with touchdowns, not field goals. So they need like an 8-possession game, scoring on 5 of them, and hoping that they're there. They've also been very much prone to self-infliction, with penalties, with turnovers, with drop passes. I think they lead the league, or they did 2 weeks ago in drop passes. And so those things can't happen if you're going to pull it off tonight. And then somehow they've got to limit the explosives. They gave up seven plays last week of 17 yards or more. Seven in a game. And obviously the off-schedule stuff with Mahomes, they've got to just cross their fingers and pray. But I think it all starts with what they do in offense. If they can possess the football and run the football and shorten the game and not commit mistakes, you know, they can hang in there.
Last couple of questions here, Kevin. We appreciate your time. First question. I guess I've never asked you this. You come on the show a couple of times. I've never asked you these two questions. Question number one, which team do Washington fans hate more? Is it the Eagles or the Cowboys?
It's the Cowboys. I mean, Redskins, Cowboys, just like, you know, Raiders, Chiefs for many, many years. It was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. It's the rivalry that I grew up with. And, you know, people that are older fans that, you know, don't love the new name and don't love the new uniforms and all of that stuff. The Cowboys were it. I mean, Redskins, Cowboys wasn't just the best rivalry in the game. It was one of the best rivalries in the sport for three decades. So it's still Dallas, but we're not Dallas's number one anymore. And that's what hurts about the last quarter century. You know, rivalries are a big part of fandom. And during the Snyder years, because the team was so inept, you know, Dallas and Philly became the rivalry in the division. You know, Philly Giants, Dallas Giants, those were just much bigger games. So hopefully we get back to, you know, a run here of being successful with new ownership and, you know, just a more competent organization and with a quarterback that looks like he's the real deal and we can develop something once again. But Dallas was always it for the majority of fans.
Do you ever find yourself thinking that you miss when they call themselves just the football team? Because I actually wish they had just kept it and called themselves the Washington football team. I liked that name.
There's no doubt. I mean, I've said it for, you know, the last 3 years on the air. Like, we all realize Redskins isn't a possibility. I don't think the league would ever allow them to do it, even though it would be the overwhelming popular choice among fans. So my preference has always been, let's just go back to Washington, you know, football club, football team, and we can all as fans call them by our own nickname, you know, the burgundy and gold, the skins, whatever you want to call them. But yeah, and bring back the old feel. You know, guys, for a lot of fans, in February of 22, when they rolled out the new name and the new uniforms, it felt like an expansion team had landed in town. And that's the part of it that not everybody's gotten over. Winning helps, no doubt. But it's going to take a long run of winning to kind of get everybody back on board. They're gonna roll out, I think, the old uniforms for the first time next week, and I think that'll become more permanent next year. But yes, to answer your question, undoubtedly, my preference, other than the old name, which isn't a possibility, would have been to just go back to Washington football team or, you know, Washington FC or however you would, you know, kind of present it.
That is Kevin Sheehan joining us on the show with Team 980 in the nation's capital. Kevin, man, appreciate you making time for us today, my man.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Kevin Sheehan joining us on the show. He said something there very, very interesting at the end. Let's talk about it before we sign off today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
I thought he said something really interesting there in the end about their name. And obviously, people in Washington want them to go back to the other name because
taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
That's the name that they grew up on. I know there are people that push back on it, but I think most logical people understand, most reasonable people understand why in 2025 you can't call yourself the old name that Washington's football team used to be. I get it. I also thought he made a really good point there about, well, when they were just a football team, we could just kind of call it what we wanted to call it. But now we have to call them the Commanders, and it felt like an expansion team. This kind of goes to something that I've thought for a while, and I just kind of forgot about it, honestly, but hearing him say that kind of brought it back. You remember there was a while that the block was hot about the Chiefs. They changed Washington's football team. They changed Cleveland's baseball team. And people were looking around and thinking, who was next? You remember this. And it was, what about the Braves? What about the Chiefs? What about this thing? And people were making the arguments that they always make, and I get it. And I remember saying this whenever the Chiefs didn't put the corporate sponsor on it, and I thought the Chiefs were actively doing things to kind of distance themselves from that because they don't want to change the name. It's part of the tradition. Home of the Chiefs. They don't want to change the name. You remember, this is around the time that they started calling it GEHA Field, and they stopped calling it Arrowhead around this time.
They also changed it from the Tomahawk Chop to just the Chop.
For sure. And you remember, they also stopped really promoting you doing it the way that they used to. It used to be a part of it. Now, they added the drum thing. That wasn't really a thing when you and I were a kid, but that's kind of it when you're talking about branding, at least when it comes to that kind of way. And if you've noticed it, nobody talks about this topic anymore. It's over. I'm not saying it can't restart. Sure, I guess it can. But you remember there was a 5-year stretch where the pressure was on Washington to change their name. The pressure was on the Cleveland baseball team to change their name. That's where they're Indians. You know that. It was pressure on them to change their name. There is no pressure on the Chiefs anymore. It's gone, completely gone for them to do it. When's the last time this was a national conversation about the Chiefs or the Seminoles or any of the teams that were being talked about during this stretch? So really good job by the Chiefs in terms of branding, and they were able to completely avoid this thing. Completely avoid it.
It was, I mean, I'm trying to think. We were doing the show together, so maybe in 21 or 22.
I liked the football team. I really did.
The block was hot.
It was very hot.
Mirror, that's also around the time that the Chiefs came out with an alert. I think this is 2021, maybe in 2022. They banned headdresses from the stadium.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were doing...
If you were wearing that to football games, that was nuts from the very, very beginning.
100%
agree. And you remember...
They had to come out and ban it, which they did, to their credit.
And you remember, that's also when the Chiefs were doing a really big, hey, they're cool with us. You remember that? Hey, they're cool with us. Chiefs were making donations and taking pictures with people. They were really proactive in, hey, we don't mean any disrespect by this. We don't want to change our name. I thought the Chiefs did a really good job of this one. I don't want to fear monger with this game because I'm honestly confident in this game. I feel the way that you guys feel, and I don't think the Chiefs are winning 41-0 today. But I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I saw this stat and it was interesting to me. Double digit underdogs on Monday Night Football since 2007 are 27-9-1 against the spread. Now, I'm not touching this game from the gambling perspective. I might take a touchdown or two, but I have no interest in touching the spread. Now, some of my fear comes from this. Now, I have seen the Chiefs over the last couple of years, and they did this probably 8 to 10 times last year. Some of my fear is, are the Chiefs going to put a C-plus effort out there? We don't want to show Buffalo anything. We're looking ahead to the most important game. It's the NFC game. The weather is blah outside. It's a short week. Could you see the Chiefs potentially do this where the game is just more uncomfortable than it needs to be? So a big thing for me, at least, and this is going to be, do the Chiefs start quick again? Last week, they just never gave the Raiders any possibility or any hope of winning that game or even keeping the game close. They scored on their first three drives, long touchdown drives. They stopped the Raiders and just ended any hope, any momentum of anything being interesting heading into the second half. Are the Chiefs going to do the same thing where they just get Washington down early on, ground and pound, and the ref has to come in and stop the fight? Or is this just going to be a game in the middle of the third quarter? It's 21-17. The Chiefs are clearly in control of the game, but they can't just take their foot off the gas yet. That's, to me, the intrigue. That's the real question when it comes to this game. I'll pick the Chiefs. 31-21 feels about right to me for this game. A potential late touchdown from the Commanders, but at this point, I just don't know how you pick against the Chiefs to score 30, especially not with everything we've heard about Washington's defense.
We didn't get a chance to play it, but when Kevin Sheehan said, they can't stop the run, they have no pass rush, their secondary is soft.
Sounded a lot like Jim Mora.
It sounded a lot like Jim Mora. So yeah, I like the Chiefs today. I don't think the Chiefs are going to sleepwalk. I think the Chiefs are locked in for this one because Monday Night Football. Maybe the fan base isn't, but the team is. Give me the Chiefs 35-21.
Coming up on the other side, we got the Chiefs pregame show. You know what? Do me a favor. Listen to the entire thing. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.